One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself a whole lot of tears. Don't try to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along, baby. Go with the flow.
Yeah, Van the Man, you gotta roll with the punches. Hi everybody, your old friend Mike Houlihan once again with Hibernian Radio. We're brought to you by McCann's Irish Oatmeal and Mike Haggerty Buick GMC Volkswagen over on Cicero Avenue in Oak Lawn. Thanks for joining us again. It's our 15th show, believe it or not. And one of the things that I tell everybody as we start every show, you know, for us to discover the myths growing from our own experiences here in Irish Chicago, all we have to do is look to our Irish police, firefighters, and paramedics. These are the heroes of our time, fighting in a war that never ends, risking their lives for their safety and well-being of us and our families. That's what Hibernian Radio does, and we're very proud to do it. And tonight, we salute Detective Ed Beasley from the south side of Chicago.
How you doing?
Welcome to the show, Ed.
Thank you so much.
So great to have you. Now, you grew up in St. Denis.
Yeah, St. Denis at 85th and Lawndale. Born and raised in the house. And
you were born in your house?
Well, born in the neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
Born in the area. I was a little company guy.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Little company, sure.
Yeah. As my parents kept having kids, they moved over to Christ. But
how many kids in your family?
There was five of us, four girls and myself.
Are you at the tail end of it? Are you?
No,
the
luckily I was at the towards the top.
Oh, okay.
I think I was the only accident. I was
like you would know.
My mom finally admitted it.
Oh, really?
Recently, yeah. Yeah. She admitted I was an ugly baby. If your own mother says that, then,
oh my God!
And you know you're
about
an ugly
a knife
baby.
In the heart. Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, exactly. But
now your dad was a cop, right?
Yeah, he was a cop. He was a patrolman for just a few years. He worked in Area 2 Task Force, and he worked with his brother-in-law, his best friend still to this day. And
oh, that's great.
Raised with a ton of funny stories from them, and we'd go fishing and camping all the time, and they would tell their stories, and they didn't really talk about it too much, but once the beers were in them, they would tell some funny ones. But
yeah.
He made sergeant pretty quickly. By the time he had 11 years on, he was a lieutenant, and that's what he retired as. I made detective in 2003, so he retired in 2002.
And when did you go on the force?
In 1996. May will be 23 years.
23 years. Good for you.
Yeah.
And you're a young man. You still got some time left.
Yeah. I still feel it occasionally, but still have 6 years before I could retire with my 29 in a day. But then as of now, I have to go until I'm 55. That's like my target age.
How old are you now, if you don't mind me
I'm
asking?
I'm 47. I'll be 48 in July.
Yeah.
So
So you like being a detective more than you liked being a patrolman?
Oh, I love my job. I stopped taking promotion exams. You know? My dad was on my case a little while. A couple of the sergeant's tests came up, and he found out about them, and he asked if I was taking them. And he said, you know, my career earnings would have been a lot less. He liked being a detective. And he said, but if he was content there, his career earnings would be a lot less. But it's a different job nowadays than when he was on the department, obviously.
I bet it is.
So I work with my childhood friend, my best man at my wedding.
No kidding.
Yeah, so we have a blast together.
You guys are partners.
Yeah, we're partners. So
yeah.
We've been partners. He made detective in, like, 2014. And so
what's
we've been
his
partners.
Name?
His name's Gary Olson. He's
Gary Olson.
He comes from a family of cops as well. His uncle was
and he's a
St.
Denis guy too.
St. Denis guy, same grade
Did
as me.
Did he go to Rice too?
He went to St. Lawrence.
Okay.
And the third guy we work with went to my grade school, my grade.
Yeah.
And he's Bill Bukowski.
Okay.
And his dad was a policeman as well.
Out
of all my friends growing up, I was the only one, my closest friends, I was the only one with a dad as a cop, and I'm the one that became a cop. My friend, he had a dad as a fireman. He became a fireman. It was like the thing to do. So.
And what are you working on? I mean, do you work out of a district?
I'm Area South, the old Area 2, as I call it.
Everybody, where is that?
That's 111th and Ellis. And
oh, okay.
We
Right near the high school?
It's
Mount
it's,
Morgan Park? Oh,
no,
it's east of there.
Yeah, it's east of there. That's the 22nd district.
Okay.
So
it's more like 111th and Cottage Grove.
Yeah, just west of Cottage. Yeah, historic Pullman area. So.
Yeah.
So I work out of there. I've been there 16 years. I made detective. In,
that could be a pretty scary neighborhood.
2003. Yeah, it could be. It's we have Inglewood south to the south end of the city from the lake over to to the like Pulaski, Cicero, where the cemetery is. That's all 22nd district. So basically the whole south side. I work in the robbery and burglary section.
Okay.
So we handle robberies, shootings if they're robbery related, unless they pass, then that's homicide. We do burglaries and home invasions and just investigate things like that.
You know, apropos of nothing, you've been reading about this Kim Fox thing. You probably can't say anything, and I won't ask you to, but Jesse Jackson was behind her during that press conference last week. And an old friend of mine, I'll tell you his name when we go off the air, but he was a Chicago cop, and he was a rookie. And he got called to Reverend Jackson's home for a break-in, a burglary at his home. So they get there, and my friend was in his 20s, and Reverend Jackson, there was nothing taken except whoever broke into the house had climbed up on their dining room table and left a nice BM on the table for the Reverend.
Wow.
And then left.
All I can say, okay.
And Reverend Jacob said, I better not hear about this in the papers. Of course, my friend told everybody.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't hear about it. I've been on furlough, but all I'll say about that is thank God that's not my case. I've been assigned to some of the like break-ins like that. Like we've had a former superintendent, his daughter's house was broken into.
Wow.
Anything that seemed to be along those lines, if it happened in my area, it always seemed to go to me. And I called it performance punishment. My supervisor said it should be considered a compliment that they trust me to handle things like that. But thank God that one's not mine. So if it is true.
This was like 20, 30 years
ago. Oh, okay. That's why I didn't hear about it.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
Yeah. But so you do deal with a lot of break-ins and stuff like that, especially in that neighborhood that's going on a lot, I would assume, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's actually slowed down, it seems. I don't know if the crime itself has slowed down or just me being as busy as I used to be. I used to be a lot. I think we just have more detectives, which kind of spreads the wealth a little
bit. Oh, that's good.
But they definitely keep us busy, and I enjoy it. I absolutely love what I do. I like going to work.
Are you working nights or
I work days. I've been fortunate. I made a detective in 2003. I just hit 7 years when I hit the area out of detectives class. And it took like 20 years to bid the days. So
To day shift. Oh, wow. Yeah.
So I was the new guy. I expected to go on afternoons.
Yeah.
And we had a commander change right before they chose the shifts for the year.
Yeah.
And I didn't know her, but I was friends with her secretary. I'm like, hey, could you get me on days? She said, I'll see what I could do. And I managed to get on days, and I've been there ever since. So I have enough seniority to get it on my own.
How long is the day? What time do you start?
I start at 8 in the morning. I get off at 6:30. It's
just
a 10-hour
like a
day
regular job.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. And I love it. Uh-huh. Just working with my friends, we just laugh all day long. All day.
Well, tell me some of the stuff that's happened.
Well,
that you can talk about.
The funniest thing doesn't even really involve anybody outside the office. My partner, he's one of the toughest guys I know. Growing up, he was known as like the toughest guy in the neighborhood.
What's his name? Gary Olson?
Gary. And he, but when it comes to like being scared of things like snap pops, like those things you can throw on the ground and they explode.
Yeah.
I keep those in my desk. And when he's behind, he has his just back turned to me, I whip them over his head and they explode. And he jumps like you would not believe. My other partner and I, we just do it all day long. And then they have those, like, Chinese firecrackers, I think they call them, the strings that you pull.
Yeah.
And I rig his binder. I rig his drawers. I rig his seat. So when he wheels it up a little bit, I rig his car door. I went in the passenger side and I rigged it. So he is constantly on edge.
This, like, sounds like Police Academy.
it's funny, but we just, like, the other day we were working and we rolled on a call. It was at the CTA platform and
95th Street?
No, the 55th Street one.
Okay.
The red line. And this girl was gone, but a girl had thrown some bottles, and it was, I think it was a 9th District call, but we were there, so we stopped. And
What do you mean she had thrown some bottles?
She thrown some bottles
onto the tracks?
No, at some guy. It came in as a disturbance. She's arguing with a guy, and she's throwing bottles at him. So we get there. There's broken glass. The guy's standing there. The CTA people say, you know, that's the guy she was arguing with. But she left. Yeah. She went down to the train. So we're talking to him, and he says, I don't want anything. I don't want to press charges. I just want to let this go. And he says, you know, she's crazy. She's on amoxicillin for PTSD. I said, amoxicillin, huh? I said, I must be crazy then, too, because I'm on that all the time for my sinus. He was adamant that it was amoxicillin making her crazy for PTSD. Little things like that we get our laughs
of. Amoxicillin is an antibiotic.
Exactly, exactly. Okay. But we just find humor in everyday things. It's even last time I was here, it was we found a way to mess with people and laugh in a fun way.
Last time you were here?
Lizzie McNeil.
Yeah.
It was during the NATO summit. And if detectives get called out on their day off, they deployed everybody, canceled days off, because we had world leaders here and the president was here. So if detectives get utilized, a lot of times they don't have us. We don't have riot gear, so they don't have us in the mix of things. So they put me right here behind the Sheridan, between the Sheridan and the river.
In plain clothes.
No, we were in a uniform. There was three of us.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, this is so blocked off by Secret Service police, Chicago police, every police agency around is here. Nobody's getting out there, but we're going to put you there just in case. If maybe a hotel guest comes out the back door and walks back in, or goes out, just usher him back in.
Yeah.
So we're just sitting there in the shade. It was like 110 degrees that day.
It's nice out here in the summer, though.
Oh, yeah,
isn't
it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, a grappling hook comes over the edge of the railing.
Are you kidding me?
And this guy comes up the rope, and we didn't see. I mean, there was Coast Guard with machine guns on each side of the hotel.
Yeah.
And they're not like doing anything. But this grappling hook comes up, and we're just watching as this guy climbs up, goes over the railing, and runs in the hotel with his backpack on. And there's a big antenna sticking out of it. The president's staying here. Hillary was here. She was the Secretary of State.
Yeah.
And he goes running in. We're just looking at each other like, should we do anything? Nobody else seemed to bat an eye. And all of a sudden, we walk to the edge and look over the railing, and there's this rubber craft with these huge engines on it. And these guys had machine guns way better than the Coast Guard guys. But they were dressed like ninjas.
Yeah.
And they were completely covered, and it was hot that day. And so we said, hey, who are you guys? They ignored us.
Yeah.
And so a little bit later, some people were at each end of the hotel just watching. It was an old-timer with a Coast Guard hat. He said, oh, those are the Coast Guard's Navy SEALs. They call them the Maritime Special Response Team. They are protecting the president. Wherever the president is, if he's in the hotel, they're here. If he's along Lakeshore driving his motorcade, they're following along. When he's at McCormick Place, they're sitting outside, preventing like a Mumbai-style attack. So once we found out who they were, we did nothing but mess with them all day because they were ignoring us. We brought ice cream cones. We let them drip on their boat. we're like, hey, it's hot. You guys want some ice cream? And they didn't say a word to us. We just things like that.
Well, but if there should be a camaraderie between the police and the SEALs, you know, you would think.
Yeah, exactly. But, I've just things like that. I have some funny work stories, but it's finding humor in everyday.
Good for you.
Everyday things.
Yeah. there's our friend Katja. So you're only 46. You probably have another 10 years, you think?
Yeah, about seven till I'm maxed out. Six to 7 years. But I'm looking at 55 as my target age. Because right now.
What are you going to do then?
I don't know.
Yeah.
If you asked me a couple years ago, I just bought a fishing boat.
And, did you really?
Yeah. I wish I was a catcherman, but I'm a fisherman. I don't really know where to go.
Where do you keep it?
My buddy Bill's house. So we went in on it together.
Where's his house?
Right by mine in Mount Greenwood. So
where's the water?
Oh, that's the thing. There's really nowhere to go around here. and neither of us had good luck on it last year. It was our first year in owning it, but we got such a deal on it that we couldn't pass it up. So if you ask my wife, she'd have a different idea about retirement will look like for me.
Now, tell me about your grandfather coming to Ireland.
He came to – it was actually my dad's grandfather. He came from Ireland. They were in – Ballybunion, and
the famous Ballybunion golf course, Donald Trump's golf course is there.
Yeah, the golf course is there, and there's my dad, somebody related to him owns a bed and breakfast.
The 19th Lodge is the name of it?
The 19th Lodge. That's Beasley's as well.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, they spell it differently, but they spell it the proper way with an S. It was when my dad's grandpa came here, they changed Beasley to a Z at whatever his point of entry was. But that was probably his introduction to civil servants.
Have you been out there to that bed and breakfast?
I haven't been there. I have not been there.
Have you been to Ireland?
I've been to Ireland,
oh,
yeah.
Good. Where'd you go?
We went, we flew in.
Because your people are from Ballybunion,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
I've only been there once, and we didn't have as much time as we had hoped for.
Sure.
So we flew into Dublin, and we drove as far west as the Cliffs of Moher.
Yeah.
But we just spent some
time. The
Cliffs
of Moher.
Exactly.
Yes.
And we spent some time in Ennis.
Oh, that's a great town.
Oh, there was a guy named Mike White. His dad used to come here and travel with a band. And,
oh, yeah. A show band.
Yeah, show band, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And I think his name was John White.
Okay.
And John was the kid. Mike was the dad, I believe. But they were related to the guy I traveled with, Ed Gorman. And we just had fun wherever we went. And we stayed at a place called El Paso when we were in...
Ballybunion?
No, this was in Ennis. It was pub called El Paso.
Okay.
A fine Irish bar. And it was there was some apartments upstairs.
That's
that
in County Clare.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Spent a lot of time in Ennis. We take a group of people with us every year to Ireland from the radio show. And we usually hit Ennis.
We were there on the Super Bowl.
No
and we
kidding.
Thought the Super Bowl would be like televised and we could go watch it like going up on Western Avenue and watching the Super Bowl. Nobody cared about it.
They kept God bless them.
They kept El Paso Pub open for us late so we could watch it.
Did they really?
Yeah, because it didn't start till like
midnight. It doesn't start till 5.
Exactly. Which is like 12:30 in the morning there. But they kept it open for us even though they were supposed to close at like 11. But
What does your wife do?
My wife, when we got married, she was working for an attorney, just doing legal secretary style work. And we both agreed.
She from the neighborhood?
She's from St. Trebius.
Where's that?
St. Rita initially,
oh,
and then
sure.
St. Trebius is at 56th and one of the K streets.
Yeah.
And her mom still lives over there, 56th and Kamensky. My wife's 100% Mexican.
Oh, okay.
Her dad is a policeman. She has as many.
Her dad's a cop, too?
Yeah, he passed from Agent Orange cancer back
in
2007.
Sorry to hear that. Wow.
But that's how we actually met. Her aunt was a police officer, and she always had her eye on me for her niece. But I was dating someone. She never mentioned it.
Yeah.
And over the years, I stopped working with her, and over the years, I'd see her. And finally, she'd always ask how I'm doing and how, like, this girl I was dating with was. And once I finally said we're not dating anymore, she told me about how she wants to set me up with her niece.
Yeah.
So actually, my first date was at my friend Neil's rooftop deck here on Lakeshore Drive.
Oh, nice.
And we just hit it off, and we just both knew. She went home that night and said, I'm going to marry him. And
oh, that's great.
I
what's her name?
Her name is Nadia.
Nadia?
Yeah, yeah, Nadia. Her maiden name is Lopez, but right now she went back to work in 2019?
Yeah.
She went back to work in 2017. I'm sorry, I lose track. But she went back to work in 2017, and she works for Mary Kate Gorman. She's an attorney on 106th and Western.
Okay,
she does property tax appeals.
In Beverly?
In Beverly, Her dad was there forever, Jim Gorman.
Yeah.
And he did property tax appeals as well. And
we got to take a break.
Okay.
But you're going to tell me a little story when we come back. We're talking to Ed Beasley. Stick around. You're listening to Hibernian Radio, and we'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
There's only one Irish pub in the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClure Court. We spent a lot of time there, taping the Hibernian Radio Show at Lizzie McNeil's every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 10 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine and a cafe menu of salads, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river, and tell them you were sent by your old pal, Hooley. Thanks.
Thank you. McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
If you're looking for an office in the loop, you got to check out Integrated Office Suites at 20 North Clark Street and 455 North City Front Plaza Drive in the NBC Tower. IOS has an entire floor in these two very prestigious buildings, and they offer the best in executive offices, virtual business offices, personalized phone answering, conference room and day office usage, administrative support services, and customized packages with fixed monthly invoices. Integrated Office Suites are convenient and very classy. So get in touch with our friends at integratedofficesuites.com or call them at 312-561-2300 and tell them Skinny and Hooley sent you. That's integratedofficesuites.com, 312-561-2300. You'll be glad you did.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside Cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982, when they started their first store, where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero, or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no, it's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000, 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero. And tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan. We're back. Hibernian Radio. So glad to have you with us. Our 15th show. We're chatting with our old pal. I can call you that now, right?
You could.
Southsiders. Ed Beasley, Detective Ed Beasley. Now, you're a very funny guy, and you're very relaxed, but you've had some tragedy in your life.
Yeah, I have.
Tell me about it.
I have. In 2011, my daughter Emily was diagnosed with T-cell lymphoblastic non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and she had a mass about the size of a grapefruit in her chest.
Oh, my. I remember reading about it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty well known around the South Side.
All over the world.
Yeah, towards the end it definitely was, yeah. But she had this mass that collapsed a lung, and her airway was like going all crazy around it. And she ended up getting 2.5 years of chemo, and we thought it was all behind us. Yeah. But unfortunately, the cancer came back, and then they needed to do a bone marrow transplant. Her odds of survival actually went down from 80% down to about 50. And her sister was a perfect match, which was unlikely. Oh. And we met families where
and
that's
her younger sister.
Her younger sister, yeah. There was families with 8 kids, and none of them matched.
Yeah.
So she was a match to donate her bone marrow, and she did. And her bone marrow was completely cancer-free when she passed, but the radiation and the chemo they gave her prior to the transplant didn't kill the cancer. It came back, and they sent her home on hospice in 2015. She passed May 18th of 2015.
I remember it was all over the news, and you guys were having, named a street after her. I think her and her sister were named official Chicago police officers.
Yeah, yeah.
Taylor Swift called her on the phone.
Yeah, she called her, tried to fly her to a show
in a private plane,
but Emily was too sick to fly. And
brave little girl. She was just terrific.
Thank you. Yeah, she taught me a lot.
I'll bet she did.
Yeah, like the opening words to the road less traveled. Life is difficult, and she accepted it, and she didn't. She was like an old soul, and she asked why me a lot of times, but then she realized why not me, and she just made the best of everything, and she just kept trying to find the joys in everyday life, fighting through her disease, and even at the end, playing practical jokes on her sister.
Did she?
All the way. Even she was even paralyzed from the cancer in her final days. And she, I didn't even know this. She reached, somehow my brother-in-law, Morgan, found out that she, like the two of them got, she reached out to him and got him to get this this stuffed llama. Because my, her younger sister was afraid of llamas.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And Morgan ordered it on Amazon. It came right away, and they ended up, Emily scared her with that, like in her final days. She was just, she was such a funny, funny girl.
Yeah. And how's her sister doing now?
She's hanging in there.
How old is she?
She is 12 now, the age when Emily passed.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, she's doing good. She's in seventh grade, and
she's only the only seventh grade girl who is still a police officer, I'll bet.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Actually, I was going to say and a state trooper, but that was Emily.
Oh, she was a
Emily was an honorary state trooper first.
Yeah.
And then CPD, I don't know if they saw that or they had it in mind, but after the state did it, CPD did it.
Yeah.
But Olivia was named one as well with CPD for being her
That's
partner
right.
through everything.
Yeah. And you said they held hands together through the whole thing. God
bless
them.
Yeah, while Emily was receiving her cells, her stem cells, they held hands and they were
they were
partners through and through. They couldn't really, we couldn't let Olivia go places because we didn't know if she would get sick somewhere, get a cold. And this is...
Oh, and then bring it back.
Yeah, bring it back. This is when we thought everything was going to work out. Up until she got sent home on hospice, they always thought things would work out, but her cancer was just so aggressive.
Oh, yeah, that had to break your heart.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So now you guys have a charity, right?
Yeah, we've actually partnered with St. Baldrick's.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, we're it's called the Harrow Fund, and we were doing some things initially. We had some events, and we were with a different foundation. And then once we found out about St. Baldrick's, we partnered with them. They control pretty much everything, but we could still have our own events. We could still raise funds in any way we want. And all the research that's done with the funds we raise, whether it's through events or through head shaves, that link up with us. So like St. Cajetan's, St. John Fisher, St. Barnabas, Christ the King, St. Queen of Martyrs, St. Catherine, pretty much every school in the area, Mount Carmel, they've all linked up with Cures for Kids. And the beauty
was
of
it
that,
called Cures for Kids?
Yeah, Emily liked that Cars for Kids commercial with the K.
She liked that?
she did. But she talked about this foundation for when she was older.
Really?
And she drew the logo that we used.
Did she really?
She came up with what it was about.
Wow.
So she thought she was going to live like they thought she was going to live. And she wanted to do this and raise money for research in the future. So we carried it on in her memory once she passed. And with Cures for Kids, people have linked up to us that have their own St. Baldrick's events. And what the beauty of that is for them is instead of giving the money to St. Baldrick's for your head shave, and you know it's going to a good cause anyway.
Yeah.
By linking up with a Harrow Fund like Cures for Kids, you know exactly what research is going to be done with that money.
Oh, good.
Because each year St. Baldrick's reaches out to us with what we raised, and they give us research that's already been evaluated by top oncologists around the world and top scientists to say this could make a difference, this could make a difference, this could make a difference. Is this what you, which ones would you like the money in Emily's name to go to?
Wow.
And so with the money we raise through our own and then through these events that link up to us, we channel that money towards those research grants and fund them in Emily's memory.
Keep us posted on any fundraisers coming up.
We'll
plug it and get it going.
I appreciate it.
All right, Ed, so great to have you on the show. God bless you. Stay safe out there.
I'll try.
We salute you for your service. You guys are always looking out for us. We believe fervently that blue lives matter. So God bless you and keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank
you. All right, thanks, pal. We'll be right back after these messages from our friends on Hibernian Radio.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
One evening of late into abandon, I strayed and bound for Lanakinty, I'm making me way. At Ballantyne the Scafty, some time I delayed, for to wit me old whistle with Porter.
Hey! Tilly-o-to, 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 to come. Tilly-o-to, 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 to come. Tilly-o-tan, tilly-o-to, tilly-o-to, come. Tilly-o-tan, doodly-do.
I scarcely had travelled a mile of the road when I heard a dispute in the farmer's abode. The son of the landlord, an ill-looking toad, and the wife of the bold tenant farmer.
Hey! Tilly-o-to, 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 to come. Tilly-o-to, 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 to come.
This is Mike Houlihan. I support Concern Worldwide. If you want to do something about global poverty, hunger, refugees, the unacceptable suffering of young children, if you want to reach people directly where the need is greatest, you should too. For 50 years, since its grassroots beginnings in Dublin, Concern has saved and changed millions of lives. It's been the proud, relentlessly compassionate face of Ireland to the world. Support Concern today at concernusa.org. That's concernusa.org. There is no more Irish thing you can do.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation, family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRock, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff, take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Hey, everybody. Your old pal Mike Houlihan back here with Hibernian Radio. Great guest tonight. That was Detective Ed Beasley breaking my heart there with a story about his daughter, Emily. But what a terrific guy, as all of our Irish first responders are. You know, Billy, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue and I look in the window of Ken's or Wrong's or Hart's or any of those great saloons, I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist, and he says to me, "Hey, Wooly, who died?" Walter Nally, a native of Hollymount County, Mayo, Ireland, beloved husband of 60 years to Mary, and the loving father of Walter, Winnie, and Daniel. He was a proud local 399 stationary engineer for the city of Chicago and a member of the Mayo Association of Gaelic Park. And Mary G. Mulcurrens, beloved wife of Thomas and mother of Patricia, Siobhan, Bernard, Pauline, and Nancy. She was a native of Convent Hill Road, Ballina, County Mayo. God rest her soul, Mary Mulcurrens. Judith Dwyer, RN, a nurse. She was born to Catherine and James Dwyer, and she passed February 9th in hospice care in Boca Raton. Judy was a retired flight and emergency room nurse, a passionate dog lover, fostering countless dogs, surviving our many friends, cousins in the USA and Ireland. God rest her soul, Judith Dwyer. Ellen E. Wallace, a native of County Limerick, Ireland, wife of the late Michael and mother of Michael, Catherine, John, Frank, Tim, and Mary. God rest her soul, Ellen Wallace. And I think that's it. Let's close up the crypt. Thank you, PJ. Our old pal PJ O'D was very good today. And he wasn't there when I called, but he called me back. God bless him. So I had material. Also, hey, I want to remind everybody, you know, we're going to Ireland October 11th to the 19th with the one and only Liam Durkin. And we're going to have a little party to acquaint everybody with Liam and myself. And we're going to have a PowerPoint and everything. We're going to be at Barney Callahan's, 10618 Southwestern Avenue, of course. Saturday night at 5:30, Barney Callahan's, 10618 Southwestern. Come on by. Meet Liam. Meet me. Liam's going to play some music. We'll have a PowerPoint about the trip. We'd love to meet you, tell you more about it, meet some of the people who've been on the trip. We got almost a dozen people already going. So if you're going, you better pull the trigger now, because as of May 1st, the price goes up $100. So if you want to get in on the discount, come to our party Saturday, April 27th, 5:30 p.m. at Barney Callahan's, 10618 Southwestern. Meet Liam and his family are just great people. They're all going to Ireland with us, too. The interesting thing is I've been to Ireland 7 times. This will be my 8th trip, and this will be Liam's first trip. He's just turned 21. He's just a dynamite singer. So it'll be great to watch Ireland come alive in his eyes as well. So hope to see you there. Also coming up is our friends at the Clonagale Association. They're celebrating their 103rd Easter. Where is it? Easter Uprising. but it's our pal Vin Casey, great organization, Clonagale. There it is. 103rd Eastern Commemoration Dinner and Dance in the Aaron Ballroom at the Heritage Center. Saturday, April 20th. That's a week from this Saturday. 6:30 p.m. at the Irish American Heritage Center. Guest speaker is Sinn Féin Michelle Gilderan. She's an MP for Fermanagh and South Tyrone. Fermanagh is where our pal Larry Nugent is from. Anyway, get over there. Cocktails at 6:30, cash bar, bagpipers. I'm sure Vin Casey will be there playing the bagpipes. It's a great celebration of Irish unity. Here's the phone number. What's that say? Oh, Joe McShane, the music with Joe McShane. He's terrific. The phone number is 708-790-8900. I got to put my glasses on, but hope to see you there. That's going to be a good one. And our best to Vinnie Casey and his sister Una and all our friends at Clonagale. And what else do we have to plug here? Okay. So glad you guys are listening. If you have any ideas, you know, if you want to send me an email, it's mikehoulihan7@gmail.com. send me a note if you like the show, or just go to our website. You can get all the podcasts at hibernianradio.org. Boy, we had a great one last week, too. And our friend Billy is being, so we were actually getting the podcast up before the show is broadcast. So that's pretty amazing. So it might be up this weekend, and you can listen in. But all the old shows are there. You hear all the coppers and firemen and paramedics we've had on the show, and the show is growing. This is our 15th week. We're really proud, and we're very proud and honored to be working with McCann's Irish Oatmeal and Mike Haggerty Buick GMC for being our presenting sponsors. All right, we're going to take another break, and then we'll be back with some craziness. So stick around.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside Cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982 when they started their first store where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no, it's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000. 708-423-5000 or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero. And tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
There's only one Irish pub in the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClure Court. We spent a lot of time there, taping the Hibernian radio show at Lizzie McNeil's every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 10 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine and a cafe menu of salads, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river, and tell them you were sent by your old pal, Hooley. Thanks.
Hi, everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan. My microphone was up in the air because I was taking a drink. Having a blast here on Hibernian Radio. So great to have Detective Ed Beasley on the show. Always great when Ronnie Marasso drops by. He's here tonight. But right now, we're going to take a trip to one of our favorite spots. I hope you're all familiar with it now. It's a little place I like to call Hooley Town.
Deep in the south side of Chicago. Get me out of here. So deep, deep. All the way up to 93rd Street.
Get me out of here, please.
Across the tracks where they only spoke Yaki Dak.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bones and bamboo.
Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Can I get you two?
This
yeah.
This is almost 70 years we're talking.
70
when
years?
The mix
what?
His teeth,
oh.
Something entered his cranium.
His cranium?
And wormed around his frontal lobes and took him to a state of mind.
Mind.
Been placed on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome.
A crazy, silly, screwy.
Have a seat.
Known as Hooley Town.
Hooley Town. Hooley Town.
Welcome to Hooley Town. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome
to Hoolitown.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
Yeah, welcome to Hoolitown, my favorite spot. That's our old pal Greg Holloman doing the intro there. You never know what could happen in Hoolitown, so that's why I say to my old pal Billy Wooten, our producer, could you please give me a hand with this door? Push it, push it, push it, push it, push it, push it, push it. Okay. Jennifer Garner opens up about her biggest skincare struggle.
Who cares?
Jersey Shore's DJ Pauly D and Vinny Gualagalamino haven't received invites to Sammy G and Cola's wedding yet.
Who cares?
Whoopi Goldberg suffers scary health relapse.
Who cares?
Jersey Shore's DJ Pauly D and Vinny Gualagalamino talk to Mike the Situation Sorrentino almost every day while he's in prison.
Who cares?
Chelsea Handler admits she was broken after her brother's tragic death.
Who cares?
Lori Loughlin spotted out as new money laundering conspiracy charges emerge.
Who cares?
Hey, grab your tissues, folks. Sarah Gilbert reveals she's leaving the talk.
Who cares?
John Legend gets backyard swim lesson from Olympian Ryan Locht.
Who cares?
And finally, Rosie O'Donnell reveals she was sexually abused by her father as a kid.
Who cares?
Close it up, please. Close it up. Rosie is always seems to get her big, fat, blobby face in there somehow. I don't know. Let me get the latch at the top, Billy. Thank you. Okay. Now, so glad to have everybody here at Hoolitown. Hoolitown is also a place where we can tell some little stories. You know, many times your wife will have friends and your husbands have their own friends. And there's a difference between friendship between women and friendship between men. Let me give you an example. A woman didn't come home one night. The next day she told her husband that she had slept over at her friend's house. The man called his wife's 10 best friends. None of them knew about it. Now, friendship between men. A man didn't come home one night. The next day he told his wife that he had slept over at her friend's house. The woman called her husband's 10 best friends. 8 of them confirmed that he had slept over, and 2 claimed that he was still there. Okay, never read out a buddy. One day, a lady went into a fishing shop to buy her husband a fishing pole for his birthday. She picked up a really nice-looking pole and asked the salesman, "How much is this?" The salesman said, "Well, I am blind, but if you give me the pole, I can tell you how much it is by the weight." So the lady gave him the fishing pole, and he said, "That pole is worth $45. She was amazed at how cheap that was, so she picked up another really nice fishing pole, handed it to the man, and he said, "That pole is worth $55. She decided that was still less than she wanted to spend, so she picked up the nicest-looking pole in the place and handed it to the man. "This pole is our best. It's $70. The lady was happy with his response and said, "I want it. I'm taking it." As she was getting the fishing pole rung up, she had to pass gas really, really bad. She thought about it and decided, well, the guy's blind. There's no way he'd know it was her or another customer. So she let it rip. All of a sudden, the man says, "It all comes up to $80. Confused, the lady says, "But you said the fishing pole was only 70. He says, "It is. $70 for the fishing pole and $10 for that duck call." Okay. Having a blast here in Hoolitown, folks. One more. No, I can't do any more. But I fixed the plug. Don't forget, coming up, hey, if you're going to Western Avenue tonight, drop in at our old friends, Barney Callahan's, where we're doing our big party Saturday, April 27th. But go in there anytime. See Bernard and Mary Callahan. They were on the show last week. But 10618 Southwestern Avenue. Go in there anytime. It's the perfect Southside Irish pub. And you will. And we hope to see you there on April 27th. Also, don't forget, in the Midway area, Twisted Shamrock at 6224 South Central Avenue. Our old pal Mike Courtney and his lovely wife Dawn. Great spot. The best Irish bar in the Midway area. Twisted Shamrock. You can't mess up there. Also, Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all facets of the Irish community, check out the Irish American News. To advertise or subscribe, call 847-872-0700 or ask for Cliff when you call that number, or email him, cliff@irishamericannews.com. Take out an ad there. We do a lot of that for our trip to Ireland and the show and everything else. So check that out. Now, we're no longer in Hooley Town. We've left Hooley Town. Okay. It's a little safer now that we're out of there. You know what? Last week I was out at the Heritage Center, and I ran into our old pal Katie Grannon, and our buddy Gene O'Cooney was there. God bless him. He's not drinking for Lent. But we were there for the Rosa Trelli contest. Lots of fun. And we sponsored a lovely gal, Rachel Detloff. She'll probably be here next week. We'll meet her. Our new intern, she's going to help us out with photos and stuff. But she was just terrific, and I got to meet her family. But there was like about 20 girls, just beautiful gals. And, of course, our best to Katie Callahan, who was the reigning Rosa Trelli. But she's there, now there's a new one, but I can't remember her name. Hey, look for a front page of Irish American News and see our pal Fiona McEntee, the immigration attorney. She's a character in her own right and a lovely gal. Just look at her picture. She's just darling. So don't forget, hope to see you all in Ireland. But if you want to learn more about the trip, come on by to Barney Callahan Saturday night, April 27th, 5:30. No charge, and you get to see our old pal Liam Durkin play some tunes. We have a PowerPoint. We're going to do a little slideshow. We'll have a beer. We'll laugh. We'll cry. We'll sing. We'll do it all. We'll see you there. And so we're going to – oh, we got a song. Oh, I haven't forgotten. I know what I forgot. We're going to play a tune by Damien Dempsey, who's one of my favorite Irish rock stars. And it's from a new album called Streetlights that our friend Karen Daly put out. But it's all about the homeless situation in Ireland, which I guess is really bad. But this is a tune called Soft Rain. I think it's really cool, by Damien Dempsey. And it's from the new CD, Streetlights, dedicated to that charity for the homeless in Ireland. So we won't be playing How Far From God this tonight. We're going to take you out with this one, Damien Dempsey. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week. God bless you all.
I'm half feral out here on the edge of the city. The dark of the country flirts and entices me, but I'm drawn to the flame of an Olivia's domain, like a moth to the light, to the city at night. I see the bus coming and I take off running, 'cause I can't stand to wait half an hour in this headspace. I'm heading for them concrete cliffs under neon moons. Keep about you your wits. I'm scribbling away on the journey in the town. The bay and the hills are smoothing out my frown, and I realize that the pen, it is mightier than the sword, and a punch never hurt near as much as a bad word. The pretty big houses off to the right, they look so all alone. I wonder if their occupants are happy. Status doesn't love you and money won't phone. The bus pulls up on old Marlborough Street. See the big gang with the rotten teeth. Through this concrete maze they will spend the days hunting powders and potions to forget regret. The livy cuts the city, a meandering blue vein. Ancient poetry echoes in soft rain down the lanes. I see you in the city, your face is everywhere. All of our adventures reenacted so clear. When you coming home, my friend, to all your paths and streets again. When you coming home, my friend. We'll be right back. gentle rain is falling as I walk a golden mile. A Georgian maze of genius, intellect gone wild. I duck into a pub, into a snug to grapple Joyce. The brown-eyed barmaid is humming and she's some voice. A few hours later, the whole place is singing. They're following a woman, her eyes shook with emotion. Every sweet note is like the last she'd ever sing. She finishes and her audience, we make the rafters ring. Different tribes, they are a feast for my eyes. Deep exotic languages, guttural and ancient. The knowledge and the strength of these brand new Irish will temper our country, invigorate our community. Humans flow and trickle through the cuts and caves of concrete. Undercover artists paint and decorate the back street. Let's walk this maze together when you get back home. I'll cherish every minute, you'll only be on loan. I raise a can to Brendan on the banks of the Royal Canal. The evening sun on the water is my beautiful pal. The sun has slipped down on this town for 1,000 years. And when it rises up out of the Irish Sea in the morning, Liverpool is yawning. A golden laying van snakes up the Liffey to greet me. Street cleaner cheerfully winks at me. Inside me, there's a symphony. As the sun stretches out across the black bog of Allen, traverses the broad majestic Shannon, creeps up the beautiful Burren, Barren, across to the mystical islands of Arran, and sprinkles gold dust over the ever young Atlantic Ocean. I'm going in. You coming?
When you coming home?